Hello, and welcome to Viewpoints, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete.
On today's show, we'll be doing a retrospective of the first 6 months of Viewpoints. Today is show number 26, and we're really excited. We're volunteers. Our low-tech item will be about how blind people can be volunteers. Our focus item will be a brief history and retrospective of Viewpoints. And the high-tech item will be a little discussion of how we actually create these shows. First, to our tip of the week. This week's tip, with a little bit of tongue-in-cheek, is that you should be listening to Viewpoints, of course.
And how do we do that?
Well, you turn on your sideband radio on your radio reading service, or you can go, as we say every week, to the website wxxi.org/reachout and click on the podcast link, and you will see a link to Viewpoints, and then you can listen to this show. But seriously, besides listening to the two of us, this is just an example of getting all the information you can about products, services, daily living tips, whatever, that can help you make your life or job or hobbies or whatever go a little bit more smoothly. So find all the information you can get.
One thing that was very interesting about the show is we're actually learning a lot also. First of all, because we have to do research for some of the upcoming shows, but also we get some comments from other listeners that sometimes give us some good ideas. So we encourage that. And today you'll hear some comments from some of the listeners all around the world.
Now, the first person is somebody you've met on this show earlier. We featured education as a theme. This is Rebecca, a high school student who we interviewed for that show. We brought her back when she had just placed second at the Intel International Science and Engineering Fair, and we talked about her experiences there. And as part of that conversation, she was saying how she was really kind of disappointed at her performance in the reading and writing part of her ACT college admissions test versus how well she had done in math and science.
There is so little advocacy for some of the different things. Like, one of the things I was talking about with my mom was, like, my reading scores would have been significantly improved if I'd used Braille or if I'd been proficient enough to use Braille, because my eyes don't last for that long. Like, math and science is really easy because I do it really quickly.
But that's what I found. If I was, like, a history major or a lit major, I think it would have been a whole lot harder for me.
And, like, you saw the significant difference in my scores. It was, like, 10 points. And it's not because you're not good, but people don't want to teach Braille. There's no resources to teach Braille. Like, there are so many things that need that type of advocacy. So it's I really like that you guys do the radio program, because it's, like, starting to do some of that that needs to be done.
Well, we hope so. We're actually learning from it also, which has been kind of fun.
So not to pat ourselves on the back too hard, but here are a couple of notes that we've gotten from some other listeners. Here's one from Angela from Salem, Massachusetts, which is just outside Boston. She said, "We have several satellite services here that cover the whole state. I listen every Friday, and I love the program. It is very interesting how you two interact with each other, and you have a lot of interesting topics and subjects. I always enjoy your show. I don't know how long you have been doing it. I started listening several months ago, and I love it. Keep up the work." So Angela must have been one of our earliest listeners, because we had just started the show a few months before she sent that note. And then there's Harry from Reno. We've actually interacted with Harry a few times and taken some of his suggestions of topics to talk about on the show. And he said, "I've listened to several of your Viewpoints podcasts and have enjoyed them thoroughly. Although I feel pretty knowledgeable on the subjects you bring up, I keep learning new things. For example, I had no idea that Bookshare produces its books much sooner than NLS. He was the one who suggested we talk about those chainmail gloves for being safe chopping things in the kitchen.
One for our cooking program.
And he kind of off the air, if you will, asked Pete about how he could get back into running. He had given it up years ago when his vision failed. And with a little bit of advice, we get this follow-up note from Harry. By the way, I've been running with my daughter for about 2 weeks and love it. We run with me holding on to a 4-foot-long stretch exercise cord. She runs near the sidewalk. I run about 3 feet behind and to her left. The cord is very forgiving for keeping a good distance between us. And from the angle it pulls on my hand, I can tell where I am relative to her. We're up to 3.5 miles 3 days a week.
So it's nice to hear that feedback from Harry. You've had some other mail notes there from people, too, that we collected.
Right. We won't read them all, but we've heard from William from Toronto, Dave from San Francisco, Kevin from somewhere in Alabama, Ross from Tamworth, Australia. In fact, it was Ross who put together the little bit with Samantha singing a few weeks ago. And with the benefit of the internet, we have no idea where Crystal or Jack come from, but they contacted us and we just wanted to acknowledge them. So thank you all for your words of encouragement. It really makes it a lot more worthwhile putting on this show if we feel like somebody's listening.
Well, and it's also helpful to us when you have some ideas of things you'd like to hear about, and that gives us some great feedback.
And if you want to contact us, you know, please either send us an email at reachout@wxxi.org, or you can call us at area code 585-258-0333. I don't know how you would have to modify that phone number from Australia, but I bet Ross knows. Turning now to our low-tech item, we'll be talking about the fact that blind people can volunteer same as anybody else, although often with some minor accommodations. We're volunteers on this show, and we'll be talking about how that came about. But there have been a number of other volunteer opportunities that Pete has taken advantage of, and we'll be talking about some of those. So he wound up being on our church board of directors.
One of the issues was this obviously wasn't taking place at our house every other week, and how did I get there? So this is one of these things where I think we've talked about in other shows where people like to be helpful. And if you just let them know how they can be helpful and give them some ideas, that can work out well for everybody. So at the first board meeting, I think you took me there, right, Nan?
I did. And I stayed just long enough for you to pop the question.
And I asked everybody as they sat down before the meeting, okay, you know, does anybody live near me and would be willing to give me a ride? And a number of people volunteered, and so we worked on which was the closest person, which was the most convenient, and then I regularly got rides from that person. And then on nights when that particular person wasn't available, there were several other people that always volunteered. Even if it was a little bit out of their way, it wasn't a problem. And, you know, I got to meet some interesting people that way and have some good discussions that way, so it worked out rather well.
Another volunteer opportunity that you might not have thought of for a blind person was working construction for Habitat for Humanity.
Yeah, well, I didn't think about it until you suggested it.
Yeah, and anybody we knew who had done it said, what are you nuts? That's not safe. He could get injured. There's all of these untrained, unskilled, they had some other epithets, for some of our potential coworkers. That's not safe. And I said, well, I know how to fix that problem. And we had all of these retired friends. And I said, okay, guys, let's form a team. And they only, in Rochester, at the local Habitat for Humanity affiliate, they only let 6 people or so work at a house at a time. And we rounded up 6 friends, counting us. And every other Thursday, we went in, the 6 of us, didn't let any strangers work with us, although occasionally they did. And we just explained, look, don't injure Pete. And so it was safe, you know, all our friends knew to watch out for him and not whack him on the head with 2x4s or anything.
One of the great things about that was that not only was it a lot of fun and we contributed to Habitat and these buildings downtown, but this team of 6 people formed a very close working friendship. And then even after our Habitat experience was over, we continued to meet on a biweekly basis as a part of a book and breakfast group. And we're very good friends as a result of all that now.
Another way I've gotten Pete involved, I'm very involved with the Genesee Land Trust, which is our local land trust working to preserve open space in the area around Rochester, New York. And Pete's a good sport. He comes out with me to some of the trail maintenance days, and boy, can he shovel mulch.
And did you marry me for my muscles?
No.
But that's a good safe job for me, shoveling mulch, because I can be in one place, essentially near the pile. The people wheel the wheelbarrow up to me, and when it's full, they tell me it's full and take it away, and they move in the next wheelbarrow. And meanwhile, other people are doing the more mobile things, like moving the wheelbarrows, raking, cutting, and, you know, going back and forth on the trails. But for me, it's a very easy job that's not dangerous.
And Pete just stands there for 3 solid hours with a pitchfork moving this huge pile of mulch. It's a lot of work.
It's good exercise, though.
You are listening to Viewpoints.
This week's focus topic is the history and a brief retrospective of the Viewpoints show. Many NPR shows end by giving credit to all the people who've contributed to the show, even including some who are fictitious, such as the famous Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe law team on Car Talk. Viewpoints has a much smaller staff. Everything you hear that's not pre-recorded is just me and Pete. But there's a third person who's instrumental in creating every show, and that's Ruth Finney. You may be familiar with that name because she's also the program director not only for Reach Out Radio, but also for the WXXI FM station. So she's pretty busy, but one of the things she does is work with us every show. I've captured many of the jobs that they list at the end of these syndicated NPR shows, and we tried to figure out who does what.
I'm Ruth Finney, executive producer and senior producer.
I'm Pete Torpey, and I wrote the theme music and put the speech synthesizer to do the intros and outros to the show.
I'm Ruth Finney, and I'm the technical director and sound engineer.
I'm Nancy Goodman Torpey. I'm the librarian.
Both of us are researchers on the show, Pete and Nancy.
And among other things, besides all those other jobs Ruth mentioned, she's been our mentor. When we came into this program, Ruth had been working in radio for many, many years, and we had no experience. This show was all her idea, as you'll hear, and she has provided us all manner of guidance and encouragement and support and advice and everything else we've needed, including some figurative hand-holding, which we much appreciated. Every time we got cold feet, she assured us we were doing a great job.
We certainly couldn't have done any of this without you, Ruth.
But you know, it was really you coming to public radio here for the first time that got this whole thing started, really, during a membership drive.
Oh, we credit our friend Bob from Fairport, New York, with that ever happening. And he said, you're retired. You've got some spare time. My wife, Kathy, and I often work the phone banks at the fund drive for WXXI. And it's kind of fun working the phone bank. You guys might like it, too. We're like, okay, we love WXXI. We love NPR. We could spend a few hours volunteering to help them out when they really need the help. So we called up and we said, okay, you're looking for volunteers. How about the two of us? The guy says, fine. He gives us a shift. And I said, oh, by the way.
A caveat.
Yeah, one of us can't see. And he just said, look, I'll call you back tomorrow after I have a chance to talk to the IT people who are going to set this up. They didn't bat an eye either. And we showed up, we worked it out, everything went smoothly.
Well, what I thought was great was they were very open and receptive to the idea of doing something a little bit differently, and were willing to work out whatever accommodations needed to be made to enable me to work the phone banks. And we did that.
And of course, it seemed to us that the entire staff of WXXI kept trickling into the phone bank to see, how could this blind guy work the telephone and the computer interface? It turned out he did pretty well because Pete's very facile with a computer.
Well, the folks around here have pretty much learned, because we have a blind operator in Reach Out Radio. And so they've pretty much learned that we have a very much a can-do attitude around here when it comes to people who are visually impaired. And we always try to figure out a way to accommodate so that we can do. And so Andy Shields, our main board operator, can do. And Pete, you've been helping with that as well.
Right. Yeah. After Ruth walked into the studio when we were doing the phone bank, she said, boy, maybe you know a lot about JAWS and computer programming. Maybe you can give us a hand with some other issue we have down here. And you got me involved in reprogramming JAWS, getting Andy some new access software to be able to work the boards.
That's right. He was. We had some new software, and he was trying to figure out. He had a lot of keystrokes to get through some things, and you wrote some scripts for him and allowed him to become very independent once again. And we thank you for that.
Well, you're welcome. It was a lot of fun for me, and it's good that it's being used well.
And then,
well,
of course, we put Nancy through a reader audition and discovered yes, she could read really well. And so she became a reader.
I was a little miffed that you wanted to audition me. I figured it was obvious I could read. But, you know, I'm really glad you do audition people, because it's part of what maintains a good quality standard for the readers that you accept. And it turns out we actually know somebody, a friend of ours, who got turned down. You didn't like how she read.
Well, we even auditioned the professionals. Professional radio and television people all audition. Nobody gets away without an audition.
Well, that's good. That means that anybody who does read for the program is doing a pretty good job. And I've heard some other readers before and after my shift, you know, and they're great.
So once I got to know the two of you...
you decided that wasn't quite enough.
There was always room for more, and I began to realize that this vision that I had had could be fulfilled. When I realized that Pete had the expertise with all of this adaptive equipment, and Nancy, you're such a good reader and had such a beautiful voice. And for a long time, I had known that there were a lot of products and resources for people with limited vision, but there was this gap in people finding out about them or knowing how to use them. I think the real impetus for this program was I spoke at our local Association for the Blind for a program that they call the MIND Series, which is Monthly Information, News, and Development. And one of the ladies said to me, you know, I hear about all the technology you're talking about and stuff like that, but you might as well be speaking Greek. I just don't know what it is. I wouldn't know the right questions to ask, or I don't know how to even find out about the products that are available. And that was really the impetus that just drove me to make sure that we had to do something on Reach Out Radio about that. And so I proposed the idea to the two of you, and your reaction?
Oh, boy.
We were very skeptical. All I kept thinking about was, well, you know, it maybe be okay to do a show or two, but boy, I don't have any more ideas than that. We put you off for about 6 months or so, didn't we?
A weekly show?
A weekly show. And we finally, you know, we came down with the structure. We've got pretty much four segments to each show, if you've been paying attention. Well, in a year, that's over 200 ideas. And we found that a little intimidating. And Ruth kept egging us on and encouraging us and saying, oh, no problem. You'll have no shortage of ideas.
And well, I kept trying to make it sound as feasible as possible. You know, we could always repeat. You could do a few shows, and then we could sit back and see how it goes and repeat. I knew once you got started, it was not going to be a problem.
See what I mean about all the encouragement?
Well, that's one thing I think is really interesting about you is, I mean, you have these visions, and you know how to make the connections and sort of incent people to... follow up on these things. I think that's really good. You do that really well.
Well, and in my position, I get so many emails and so many resources coming to me all the time that I wish I could do something with, but I don't have the time or resources to do everything I'd like to do. So now I have somebody to send it off to. And so also I had to consider the fact that I know you guys love to travel and you go away for periods of time. So that's when we kind of came up with the schedule of trying to record ahead. We started recording in October of 2010, but the first show didn't air till January 2011, and we've been able to stay ahead a little bit so you guys can have the flexibility of your time when you need to have it, and yet we can make the programs as timely as possible. So
we haven't missed a show yet. She made sure to tell us that if we ran behind, we could always repeat an old show, but we haven't run behind yet.
You know, it seems like there's always some new ideas coming. But just to review some of the ideas that we have talked about so far, I mean, we've covered a lot of material. We've covered lots of different sources of accessible reading material from NLS, National Library Service, Recording for the Blind and Dyslexic, now Learning Ally, and a number of other sources.
That would include the National Braille Press, Audiophile, Overdrive, Bookshare, and the Bookport, as well as we've discussed various audio file formats, and there are a number of them, and we've compared and contrasted the various formats. Number of computer access technologies.
including a lot of the screen readers and magnifiers, so the speech synthesizers, and how to use these with particular resources like Bookshare and National Library Service.
As well as refreshable Braille displays that you can either use on your computer or as a standalone device.
And then you've had a couple of shows about some of our travels around the country and how even with a visual disability, there are many opportunities to enjoy a lot of different aspects of different geographical locations.
Well, you know, and another thing is we were looking at this program, we wanted to make sure that other radio reading services around the country and around the world could listen to our podcasts or use them on their service. And I recall the gentleman from up in Toronto, they have a nationwide service in Canada that is similar to our radio reading services here in the United States. And he contacted me and he said, I just want to know if this is going to be too U.S.-based or is this going to be stuff that, you know, our people could use? And that's been, again, one of our focuses. Although there are some things like the National Library Service that are U.S. related, many of the things that we've talked about have been general things that people in any area could benefit from, people with low vision. And that's been part of our focus and part of our goal to make sure that it's generic enough that anyone anywhere could learn from it.
And then after a few shows had gone by, we figured out it might work well to do a show with a theme. And we've been trying to have themes for all of our shows starting about 5 or 10 shows in. And we've covered exercising, education, music, food, meeting and dating, and one of our favorites, driving for the non-driver, which may sound like an oxymoron, but there's plenty of material there too.
So it's been a lot of fun.
And I've been actually blessed because you guys have been such techies that you have been able to grab resources, audio resources, to make this program even more than what I had envisioned originally. But that's what makes it so cool.
Oh, yeah. We recently reread Ruth's original program proposal where she said it would be 28 minutes of pre-scripted material with no post-processing required. Boy, is she surprised. Because we don't script hardly anything. There's like a couple of sentences per show, and the rest of it is extemporaneous, I wouldn't say. Totally ad-libbed. And now we've been plopping in all of these audio clips.
Which you guys are producing, so it takes the burden off of me, which is great.
But you get the final production for the finished product there. It's amazing how much better it sounds after you get through with the entire thing.
I do have the power.
Right.
And we have the glory, but we thought we'd share it with Ruth this week.
Thanks, Ruth.
Thank you so much. Now for this week's high-tech item, the mechanics of how we actually make the shows. Every show starts out, we have to figure out what on earth we're going to talk about next. And we often just sit across the kitchen table from each other brainstorming ideas, and we'll come up with, you know, 20 or 30 if we're lucky, little ideas, and then we try to coalesce those into a theme, or maybe one idea will spawn another related idea, and that'll help because the theme will be a little bit more settled.
Well, and often Ruth will give us ideas for shows or directions to go. Sometimes there are ideas and suggestions from listeners that we try to incorporate. So there's lots of ways of getting new ideas. We thought that would be very difficult, but it turns out when we just sit down and talk to each other, a lot comes out.
And, you know, every week at the end of the show, we say if you would like to share an idea for a future show, send an email or call us. We'll be saying that this week, too. And we really mean it, because if you guys give us an idea, then we know we're responding to something our listeners are more interested in hearing.
Then, as Nancy was saying, we take a lot of these ideas and we put them all out on the table and try to collect them into themes for a show to have similar information in each show.
And then we write a detailed outline of each show. And although we say it's not scripted, these so-called outlines can be 3 or 4 pages long. And occasionally they even include paragraphs that we do read, usually stuff that somebody else wrote. And then we come in to the studio, which is actually a pretty nice place. There's a big window. It's nice in here. It's soundproof. And there's a huge table. There's 5 microphones. And we sit here on one side of the table with our huge headphones. And Ruth's in the next room. And then we make all these audio clips. Usually we record them either through our digital pocket size point and shoot camera, which has, it turns out, not just a video recording capability, but an audio recording capability.
And the other thing we've been using is my Bookport. It turns out the Bookport Plus makes a very fine recording, we've come to learn.
And we also sometimes record Skype conversations. That's how we got that clip with Rebecca earlier in the show, using a Skype recorder.
The interesting thing, I think, is we can talk to someone for like an hour, and then we have to edit it down to like 5 minutes, which can take a fair amount of time.
And to do that, we use Audacity, which is a free sound editing program that I've had. Well, I started out, I'd never even heard of it, but by now I've got hours and hours and hours of experience using it, and I hope that that shows that I've been doing a better job on the more recent audio clips than in the original ones.
The other tool we use is Sonar from Cakewalk, which is a more sophisticated audio production tool that mostly I use.
Right. Now, it turns out the theme song, I believe I bragged about this a little bit on the show we did focusing on music. Pete wrote that theme song.
Yeah, so I wrote that and played it on my keyboard, which is connected to my computer through Sonar.
Now, that's the piano keyboard. You have to distinguish between that and the computer keyboard.
Right. And so I played the little theme music into Sonar that way on one of the synthesized sounds. And then I used the Samantha voice from Jaws to let Samantha speak the introductions to the show and the last part that you hear about, you know, contacting us and stuff like that. And eventually put that all together with Sonar.
Well, there was that one time Samantha got to sing.
Then we had Ross do that. And he's going to describe that in an upcoming show, how he made Samantha sing to the songs. So we sit here in the studio. We usually record two shows at a time. And then we leave Ruth with all the unedited audio. And she has to spend a fair amount of time going through to take out the little pauses and little hiccups. And finally, you get a polished show out of that. And someone puts it up on the website for the podcasts. And then gets it on the air so you can hear it with your special radio receiver.
And that's where I have the fun, as your executive producer, senior producer, producer, and sound engineer.
That's it for this week's show. Next week on Viewpoints, we'll be talking about eye health and some of Pete's experiences with his various surgeries. Even I had an eye procedure. We have friends who've had other eye procedures. I think among us, we've covered almost every procedure you could have, and talk a little bit about why and when you would want to see an eye care professional and what kinds of eye issues can lead to visual impairments. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to reachout@wxxi.org or call us at area code 585-258-0333. We'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Viewpoints, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. This program was hosted by Nancy Goodman Torpey and Peter Torpey. We hope you'll join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show by going to our website at wxxi.org/reachout and clicking on the podcast's link. Thanks for listening to Viewpoints, and have a nice day.